I'm going to preach tonight, pray without ceasing. How to pray without ceasing. And I approached this message tonight and I thought, here I am in a charismatic church full of committed believers on a Wednesday night, and I'm going to preach about prayer. I'm probably going to be preaching to the choir, I know, but I know this. I could always use a little more encouragement in my prayer life.
Yes, amen.
And so maybe you get some encouragement out of this tonight. And you always have to remember, as a preacher's preaching, he's preaching to himself too. So good encouragement tonight on prayer, I pray, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray one more time before we get into God's Word. If you're wanting to turn somewhere, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Well, Father, we thank you tonight. I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for how wonderful my life is. God, I wouldn't trade places with anybody in this world. I wouldn't trade places with Bill Gates or any of those people. I wouldn't trade places with any of them, Lord. My life is blessed, Lord, and it's wonderful. And I'm happy with it, and I know it's all because of your word. And I thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I'm so thankful how empty and lost I would be if I hadn't had your word, if I hadn't encountered your word in a significant way when I was just a teenager, and what it means to my life. And Lord, we turn our eyes to it tonight. Lord, we want to behold wondrous things from your word. That's what David said, and we want to behold those wondrous things from your word tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who makes this beautiful book, even though it's an ancient book, but I thank you the Holy Spirit makes it present tense right here tonight in our lives. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to start off with this subject of pray without ceasing. I want to start off with just a few kind of general exhortations that will help you, I hope, to learn to pray without ceasing. But let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Paul writing this, and he says in the 16th verse, you know what, I could just give you all awesome homework tonight. I mean some heavy memorization. I want you to memorize this verse. Be joyful always. Can you do that? That's a whole verse right there. 1 Thessalonians 16. We find three very short verses, but I think three very powerful verses on how to live your everyday life for Jesus. Verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. King James, of course, says, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. I tell you, there's a big clue right there. You want to be joyful always? Pray continually. Those two go together. If you pray continually, I believe you can be joyful always. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just love those verses when God just makes it so plain we couldn't possibly miss it. This is God's will for you. It is God's will for you that you be joyful always. It's God's will for you in Christ Jesus that you pray continually. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Ephesians says, pray always. Pray all the time. And that's what we want to talk about, how to pray all the time, pray without ceasing, pray continually. That's what I'm going to really focus in on. Of course, he goes on to say in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. If you're giving thanks in all your circumstances, no matter what you're going through, then you're praying all the time. You're praying continually. You're giving thanks to God continually. And so he says, pray continually. So I want to talk about that idea. First of all, this is God's will for you. This is just plain God's will for you. Submit to that. Submit to God. Submit to God. It's not just a matter of, I don't think many people around here would think of themselves this way, but there are a ton of religious people who say, well, I'm a churchgoer. And that's all well and good. I'm a churchgoer too, and I've been going to church for 30-something years now. But it's more than that. Pray continually. In other words, see yourself as a man of prayer or a woman of prayer. See yourself that way. It's important that you realize that's God's will for you to be a man of prayer or a woman of prayer. Realize that. So if you're going to submit to God and it's His will for you to pray continually, then you need to develop devotional habits. Of course, tonight I'm mostly talking about prayer, which is only one of many devotional habits. Study of God's Word, going to church, and fellowshipping with God's people, many devotional habits. I'm focusing in on prayer. Don't want to call attention to it, but Josh is going to take a nap. No, just kidding. I shouldn't have done that, but I couldn't help it. So you have to develop a devotional habit. Everyone say habit. Have you got habits? I got habits. Prayer should be a habit for you. Whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it, no matter what you're doing, I'm in the habit of praying because it's God's will that I pray continually. It's God's will that I pray without ceasing. Therefore, it's a habit for a believer. It's a devotional habit to pray. So develop that devotional habit. It's good, you know, now my wife, I've probably said this in here many times, so her name is Becky, but, you know, sometimes I say she's such a creature of habit, I call her Rhonda Routine, because my wife is like, I mean, every morning she gets up, gets her coffee, goes to a certain chair, gets her Bible. There could be earthquakes, it doesn't matter, tornadoes, whatever. She'd be in that chair reading her Bible with her coffee. It's just a habit. I never even told this before, but I remember when we first got together. Actually, before we got together, we were just kind of friending and getting to know each other. But she had this little calendar journal where she checked every day when she got up at, I think it was 5:30 back then. And she checked on that calendar every day when she made that appointment and kept that habit with God to pray every day. It was a devotional habit. I said, I need to marry this girl. This is a spiritual girl. But make it a habit every day. And I have places and times for me that are habits of prayer. And it's always a little squeamish to get into all that because Jesus said that when you go pray, that you go in and you shut the door. In other words, you don't do it to be seen by men. You do it before God just because you love Him. But at the same time, it's always a little squeamish for me to call attention to that habit. But I'm not trying to do it to make you think I'm more spiritual than I am, because I'm not. But you do need to make a habit of prayer. And I've got certain places I get up and go out and pray in my backyard every morning. And then other times I want to go out in the woods and seek God. And there's just places and habits that I have in prayer. And make prayer a habit. Now, I certainly don't want to make you think I'm more spiritual than I am, because sometimes I'm about as spiritual as bad breath. But at the same time, let me just say it this way. The greatest aspiration of my heart is to be a seeker of the face of God. That's the greatest ambition in my life, is to be a seeker of the face of God. And you know, after you spoke that last message, Carmen, I have a declaration every day. That's one of my declarations. I am a seeker of the face of God. I am a friend of God. I'm a seeker of God's face. I'm a man of prayer. And that doesn't mean I'm good at it. Sometimes I may go out in my backyard and I'm out there for an hour, hour and a half. And my wife thinks, wow, what a husband. What a man of prayer. What she doesn't know is that hour and a half, all I really got prayed good was 10, 15 minutes of it. The rest of the time I was distracted, or I couldn't focus, or I didn't feel like I was praying the way I wanted. I'm not that spiritual. But it's the greatest desire of my heart to answer that call and be a seeker of the face of God. So think of yourself in those terms. It'll help you to be serious in your prayer life and to be a person who prays without ceasing or prays continually. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So think of yourself that way. Think of yourself as a woman of prayer. I'm just going to say this one real quick. This is just kind of, this is going to sound. Pray because you love God, not because you love yourself. I know that should be very obvious, but you know, anybody can pray. I dare say everybody does pray. When somebody's speeding and a policeman pulls up behind them, they pray. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, please don't let me get a ticket. Oh God, oh God, oh God, please let me get a warning. They pray, but not because they love God. They pray because they love themselves. And anybody who hasn't been quite diligent enough to study for their test, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help me with this. A lot of people pray because they love themselves, but that doesn't develop a devotional habit. Pray because you love God. That's the motive to pray. That's what keeps you praying. I've been faithful to my sweet little wife now for 24 years, almost 25, because I love her. That's to say, be faithful to God because you love Him. In other words, faithful in your habit of prayer because you show up because you love Him. God, I'm here because I love you today. That may be the best thing I say during this whole prayer time, but I'm here because I love you. Pray because you love God. And you love to be with God. Develop a heart for prayer. Develop a heart for prayer. I love this verse, Jeremiah 24:7. It's not on the media, but Jeremiah 24:7 says, "And I will give them a heart to know me." And if ask God for that. If your prayer time is feeling dry, or if you're walking through a desert of your devotional time where you don't feel like you're getting anywhere with God, just pray that, God, give me a heart to know you. I think that'll juice up your prayer life. Give me a heart to know you, God. Develop an appetite for prayer. I don't miss a lot of meals. Eddie, one of my favorite guys right there, Eddie, because he serves enchiladas. And on the border, I eat every day. Why? Because I have an appetite. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Develop an appetite for prayer. And if you don't have an appetite, you know, if I don't have an appetite, there's something not right. There's something not healthy. And I maybe need to go to the doctor. I need to find out what's going on, doc. I don't have an appetite. Something's not right. And when you're a saved person, when you're a seeker of the face of God, and you don't have an appetite, that's not normal. That's not healthy. Don't be satisfied with that. And if it's gone, then go to Dr. Jesus and say, "Lord, give me an appetite for righteousness. So I hunger and thirst after righteousness." When you hunger and thirst, when you hunger and thirst after prayer, you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, doing something that's righteous before God, praying. I've always loved this concept in Hebrews 11. It says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's another one of my morning declarations, Carmen, since your message. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But that term, diligently seek, boy, that can kind of, I don't know if I quite meet that level up there, you know. But you know what? Part of that language there, part of that language is not just diligently seeking, it's crave. If you look it up in the Greek, it's crave. God is a rewarder for those who crave after Him. Oh, I love that concept. Do you crave God? Do you crave Him? Like you crave food, do you crave God? Do you crave knowing God? Do you crave praying and spending time with God? And if that's not there, ask God. And a lot of these things I'm telling you about, to me, they're just things I pray for. God, give me a heart to know you. God, give me a craving for you. Give me a craving for prayer. Give me a craving for the Word of God so that I do it every day. Now I want to switch to pray without ceasing in the short term. That sounds like an oxymoron. Pray without ceasing, like a contradiction. You're talking about praying continually in the short term? Yes. This is what I mean by that. Sometimes you've got a situation and you have to pray that situation through. And you have to learn to stick in there with God in a prayer time. Even though your flesh is wanting to go watch TV, even though your flesh is my flesh wants to do anything but pray. Never ceases to amaze me when I show up at my prayer time, all the things that cross my mind. Oh, go do this. Oh, you need to do that. Oh, check your Facebook. Do this. I don't even like Facebook that much. But everything twirls through my mind to try to distract me and get me to where I'm not praying. There's so much stuff, so many interruptions. We are living in the age of distraction. 100 things come to my mind every day when I'm getting ready to pray. But there's times when you have a situation and you just got to tell your flesh, shut up, I'm praying. And I'm going to pray till I'm done praying. Well, your flesh is like, when's that going to be? Well, it may be a while, just shut up. Your flesh don't want to be still. Your flesh doesn't want to be still, particularly in this day and time, this society. We are not used to being still. We are not used to being quiet. We are not used to just disciplining ourselves to wait in God's presence. But I'm telling you, it's a spiritual discipline we need to keep going in the church, waiting before God. When I'm getting ready to preach, sometimes I'm praying about a message, and then once I've got something stirring in my heart or some scripture and I start to study, and I may have the outline done. I may have the outline and the scriptures all there, but even still, then I just want to wait before the Lord and just keep waiting before the Lord and just wait before the Lord. What are you saying to Him during that time? Sometimes not much. I just say, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm just waiting in Your presence. I just wait before You in prayer. I just wait before You because I want to soak You up, Jesus. And there are times when you have to learn to discipline your flesh to pray without ceasing in the short term. In other words, what I'm talking about is the length of your prayer time. Now, you know what? If you can only pray 5 minutes, then do it. That's wonderful. If you're a young Christian and the best prayer time you can muster up is 15 minutes, that's fine. Don't want to intimidate or discourage anybody. But I'm just saying develop the habit of waiting before the Lord for a while when you pray. And I got to tell a story tonight. I tell you what, I remember this. I remember I was a young, young Christian. I think I'd probably been saved less than a year. And I had a burden in my heart. I had such a just crushing thing going on in my life. And I just had this burden, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't know how to get past it, and it was just tormenting me. And I walked into my church. Well, I got saved a few miles from here on the other side of town, Crestmont Baptist Church. Just this mixed up little teenager, heard the gospel of Jesus and got real saved. And I'm just going to that church trying to learn about God. I didn't know God's first name and trying to learn. And I had this burden in my heart. My whole prayer life, I probably never put more than 3 or 4 words together back then. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray yet. But I came in and I had this big burden. And I came in on Wednesday night. And I remember the associate pastor was scheduled to preach. His name was Kerry Smith. And Kerry got up there. And you know, he was the associate pastor. He didn't get to preach very often. But instead of preaching that night, Kerry Smith said this. Kerry said, I just feel led like we need to pray tonight. I just feel like some of you may have some burdens tonight and you need to pour out your heart before the Lord. I'm not going to preach. I just open up this altar and you guys can just come. Come and pray. And we're not going to have a closing time or a closing prayer. You can just come up here and pray. And I thought, okay, that sounds like a good idea. So I came down from whatever row I was on, and the front of the church was the whole front was long steps with carpet, and that was when carpet was a lot softer than this. I remember that. And I remember I just kind of fell face down like this on those steps. And I just buried my face in that carpet. And I started learning to pray right at that moment, how to pray through. And I prayed and I prayed and I just buried my face in that carpet and I prayed and I lost all awareness of everything going on around me and I just prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then after a little bit, seemed like a little bit to me, one of the sweetest things I've ever had happen in my whole life, even at this stage, 30-something years later, this beautiful, sweet peace came into my heart about the situation. Nothing had changed in the natural, but I had this beautiful, sweet peace about the situation. And I remember, I got up, and when I turned around, the church was dark. The lights were out, and the people were gone. And I saw Pastor Carey sitting in a chair just outside the main door, sitting in a chair, just waiting on this silly little teenage kid to learn how to pray through. I have no idea how long I was in there. I mean, in my mind, it felt like 15, 20 minutes. But apparently, it had been a lot longer. It was not real late at night, but it was after 9, and we'd started at 7, and but I learned a valuable lesson that night. There's a time when you can pray long enough that this sweet, sweet peace comes to your heart. And I know in the old days they called it praying through. And I dare say our generation doesn't know. And Mark, I so much appreciated your message Sunday morning about we are a generational church. And if you're a young person or a medium person or even an old person, and you say, I don't know about praying through. I don't know how you do that. Then you find somebody in here that knows that. Sister Nichols, I bet you know about that. Go talk to her. Find somebody that knows about that and learn how to pray through about a situation. I heard a testimony just this week. This lady was in a serious accident. She was in the hospital. She was in intensive care. But right, a friend of hers happened to be there in the emergency room as she came in and saw what was going on. And heard the doctors tell her family, because she was a friend of the family, and she was standing there when the doctor, and she had some sort of real serious pneumonia had set in, and her lungs were inflamed and swollen, and she wasn't getting oxygen very well, and she wasn't breathing very well. And the doctor said, this is so serious that usually if a person gets to this stage, they're not going to make it through the night. And the lady heard that. And so she went home, and she began to pray for her friend. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And her fear, and the doctors, all night long, her vital signs were just all over the map and shallow. And her blood pressure was up and down and dropping critically low. And the oxygen levels in her blood were just perilously low. She could have died at any second. But her friend prayed. And finally, her friend told her that about 4 in the morning, I got a peace. And I just went to sleep. And then they even checked her medical records. At 4 a.m., the nurses said her vital signs stabilized. And they knew she's going to make it. Oh, we have to learn to pray through. And I'm certainly not going to stand here and tell you, woo, I'm good at that. I think that time at Christmas, the last time I did it real well. It's a discipline. And I have to say, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. That if I were a little kid in school today, they'd slap me on ADD medicine. Thankfully, I was kind of before that. I never got it, but I'm kind of wild. Man, if you think I'm good at staying still, you are wrong. It's not easy for me to be still, but still, I seek God. Lord, please help me to pray through situations. Pray through situations. You know, I know I've shared this here before, but it just fit into tonight's message. I'm going to share it again. I remember I studied the life of David. Oh, I love the life of David. And I was studying the life of David one time, and I'm reading, I think, in Samuel. And it just said this in the Bible. I didn't look up the scripture or not, but it just said this. It said, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. Man, I got to say, I was bummed out. I was saying, God, that never happens for me like that. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. Why can't it be that easy for me? I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I don't hear anything, God. Why is it always like that? And if you really want to know what my life's really like, in other words, you think I'm more spiritual than I am, forget it. Because most of my life is just pure faith. I don't hear from God very easy, and I struggle and struggle and struggle in my prayer life to hear from God. That's how it is most days. But I remember reading that. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. But you know what's interesting? Do you think that's really how it was for David? Finally, I mean, decades later, I realized reading the Psalms, I don't think that's how it was. The way that was written was true, but there was a little more to it than that. Because when you read Psalms, you read a man who struggled in prayer. Every psalm you read, that man is under, well, not every psalm, but most of the psalms David wrote at the beginning, he is obviously depressed, distressed, under it, not in control, and crying out to God, and not that sure that God's listening. Because I've got little, this time as I went through Psalms recently, I made a little mark out there, the language of prayer. How many times David would say, God, give ear to my prayer. God, hear me. God, don't be silent. God, how long? In other words, David was clearly also struggling in prayer, that praying through kind of thing. And if you read the book of Psalms, it's a GPS roadmap to how to pray through. Because at the beginning of almost all those psalms, David is distressed and in fear and defeated. The cords of death are wrapped around me, God. Vicious men are chasing me. And they really were. They'd have killed him if they could have got him. It wasn't just small stuff. He didn't just have car trouble. In other words, David had serious things going on in his life. And at the beginning of most of the psalms, he is, God, I'm going to die if you don't do something, Lord. What good will it be for me to be in the grave? And I mean, he was under it. But then somewhere about the middle of the Psalms, you see David start to get hold of the promises of God. And then by the end of every Psalm, what's David doing? I praise God, I can run through a troop, I can climb a wall, I can have victory. He got the victory. He prayed through. He prayed through. And if you don't know how to pray through, read Psalms. Just read them out loud. Reading Psalms is like praying through. Autopilot, even if you don't know how to do it. Read those Psalms. It's like a roadmap. Pour out your heart, grasp the promises of God, and then praise God for victory. But David did that in one setting. Now I need to move along. How to pray through, how to pray in the short term without ceasing. Now I want to switch to how to pray through it. I mean, how to pray without ceasing in the long term. Now, I don't know if I need to get a show of hands. How many of you have ever had a prayer time when you started at the beginning and you prayed, and at the end of the prayer time, it hadn't happened yet? Everybody, I think, yes. Gosh, some of them aren't even raising their hands, Mark. These are great people of prayer. How many of you know there's sometimes you got to pray and you got to keep on praying? And you got to pray day after day after day after day. And I don't want to scare you, but sometimes it's month after month after month sometimes. There's some things I've been praying for decades. How do you pray without ceasing? Pray with continually in the long term. Let's look at that for a little bit. I remember one time Pastor Alan Shook and I went to Albania. And there was it was the most hostile Marxist government on planet Earth, and the Marxist government had just fallen. And Alan Shook and I planned to go over there for 40 days. Don't ask, my wife's writing a book about that right now. She didn't like that plan, but anyway. Went to Albania for 40 days, and we wanted to preach the gospel open air and start churches, and we had a wonderful time in Albania, but there was also, the government had fallen, and it was like the Wild West. There was nothing organized, no U.S. embassy, no consulate. It was just kind of wild land, and there was a severe famine, and we knew that before we went. So Alan and I both put a lot of instant food in our suitcases, so that we would have something if we couldn't find food when we were there. And of course, as Americans, we had money. not a lot. Alan and I are neither one rich, but for them it was a lot of money. And we would give the man we were staying with and his family, we would give them money in the morning, and he would leave with plenty of money in his pocket. He still sometimes didn't come back for 6 or 7 hours. It took him that long to find food to buy for all of us. But Alan and I had all this American food in there, instant potatoes, instant macaroni, all these freeze-dried, you know, instant or, you know, dried foods that you just add boiling water to. Well, you know, the Albanians didn't know anything about Americans. So the Albanians thought that everything Americans eat is just instant. Wow, you just pour water in it and you got food. They just got this little package that big and they got a cow in there. Everything we ate was instant. But you know, a whole lot of people think that's how prayer is. How many of you know it's not? It's not instant potatoes. And we got to learn to pray and keep praying no matter what. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm not really going to read that first verse or get into the first four verses, but it's the occasion where the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's a great prayer right there too. Lord, teach us to pray. Just humble yourself before God. Teach us to pray, Lord. But I am going to key in on verse 5. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, of course, he went on to teach them the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my... that's not the Lord's Prayer, sorry. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that prayer, the model prayer. And we're not going to get into that. There's lots of good teaching on that. We're going to key in more on verse 5, a parable that Jesus gave right after when they said, teach us to pray. Verse 5, Luke 11, 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. I don't think I even need to expound on that, do I? That's very simple. Jesus is telling us that this man, he's giving us a principle that even though this man didn't get instant potato answer to prayer, Jesus said that, he said, I tell you, even though if he didn't give it to him just out of friendship, just out of his friend's persistence, out of his persistence, he will rise and give him as much as he wants. Jesus said that's a key to prayer. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, and he gave them this parable. And then he followed it up. In other words, you have to persist in prayer sometimes. And then he followed it up in verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And so we have so much to learn in these verses. I believe I've heard it said, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've heard it said that the construction here is ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Sometimes that's something you have to learn to do in prayer. And I have to say that when I got saved, something that just grabbed my heart. I wanted so desperately for my family to go to heaven, and particularly for my dad to go to heaven. And my dad was just not interested in God. Matter of fact, he was extremely hostile anytime I so much as... And matter of fact, one time he threw me up against the wall and put his fist under me and said, I don't understand you anymore. You've become a religious fanatic. He was, in other words, he wasn't that open to my new faith. But I started praying for that man. I started praying for that man and praying for that man. And I sure don't want you to think I'm more spiritual. Sometimes I'd pray for months. God, oh, God, save my dad. God, please save him. Save his soul. God, work in his life. Do something, Lord. Save my dad. Sometimes I'd pray that way for months. But then you know what would happen? I'd get discouraged. You know what the enemy to that kind of long-term prayer is? Discouragement. Discouragement just grabs hold of you. And you just be like, what's this doing? They're not responding, or this prayer's not getting answered, or this or that's not happening. And just discouragement is what it is. It just comes in and stops you from praying. And then you may go months without praying. And I can't deny I went through that cycle. But I have to say, then I'd get stirred up and I'd start praying for my dad again. I know some people are perfectly diligent. They write a name in their Bible and they pray for 110 years until they get saved. I didn't have it all together that way. I'd go in these cycles, but then I'd always pick it back up and start praying for my dad. I didn't have to pray for my dad for 25 days. I didn't have to pray for my dad for 25 weeks. I didn't have to pray for my dad for 25 months. I had to pray for my dad for 25 years. And then finally, he came to me and asked me to baptize him. And he wanted to put his faith in Jesus Christ. 25 years. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Well, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. In other words, the parable, Jesus said, I'm telling you, this man may not give it to you because of friendship, but just from pure persistence, he'll come and give it to you. Principle of prayer, don't ever give up. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. I know this sounds silly, but always remember, you're not praying to yourself. You're praying to God. And all things are possible with him. In other words, if you're discouraged, you're just human flesh. You're going to get discouraged maybe, especially in a long-term prayer project, but you're praying to God. All things are possible with him. Keep on praying. Don't ever quit praying. Pray, 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 pray. Don't ever stop. Pray. Whatever situation that you feel God has put in front of you, just pray, pray, pray. Praying is not thinking out loud. Praying is talking to the Almighty Creator of the universe, and he can do something about it. But keep on praying. Now, I want us to go to Luke 18 tonight as we come toward the end here. Notice I strategically didn't say the close. Luke 18, verse 1. Let me also clarify tonight, I'm reading out of the NIV. I read out of the New King James earlier. This is the NIV. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Jesus said this, verse 1. Then he told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I remember the first time I ever read that verse. Always pray and not give up. And I just saw that. The antithesis of giving up is what? Praying. And the antithesis of giving up, is the antithesis of praying, just giving up. So when you feel like giving up, pray. When you feel like giving up, that's the time to pray. Jesus said, men ought to always pray and not give up. Don't give up, pray. They're opposites. You may see no possible way. I tell you, Mark, God has also given me that wonderful passage in Isaiah 43. He gave it to me in 2010. I've been praying it over some situations for Becky and I ever since 2010. We still don't have some breakthroughs in some areas, but I'm still praying that. He's going to make a stream in the desert. He's going to make a road in the desert, a stream in the wilderness. There's things you can't see happening. You don't know how it could happen, but don't give up. Jesus said, pray, always pray, and not give up. Keep praying. Don't give up. Now, verse 2. Have y'all noticed I repeat myself a lot? I had a Bible school teacher who one time said, repetition's a good teacher. I latched on to that. Yeah, that's good. Don't know what to say? Just repeat it. Verse 2. Another parable to teach us about persisting in prayer. And he said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. You get that? She kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Wow, what a parable. I have to say, when I read this parable of Jesus about the unjust judge, his particular verbiage, when he says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. If that wasn't in the Bible, I couldn't believe God would say that. But he did say it, didn't he? The unjust judge said, she keeps bothering me. And I will see that she gets justice, even though she won't eventually, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And then Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge just said. I tell you what, if Jesus hadn't said that, that just wouldn't sound right. But I'm telling you, bother God. Come and keep on coming. Wear him out. I didn't look this verse up, but I think there's a verse in Isaiah that says, give me no rest. Yes, I'm sure of it. I think it's Isaiah 62. He's telling his people to intercede for Jerusalem. And he says, give me no rest until Jerusalem shines again. Give me no rest. Give God no rest from your prayers. And sometimes I have to say, until I preach this tonight, there was a time about a year ago I was going through kind of a struggle in prayer. And I thought, God, I'm sure you're tired of hearing me. I'm just convinced you're tired of hearing me. You must be. I am. You must be tired of this prayer, God. But yet, what did he say? Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge says. We're supposed to do that. No, I don't think God's really bothered, but yet we can relate to that. We understand what he means. He says, just keep coming to God and just keep. And Jesus specifically gave us a key here. I tell you what, you can learn a lot about the mechanics of prayer. You can learn about the verbiage. You can use your best King James English. I mean, we used to pray that way and think that made it better. Lordeth, pleaseth, helpeth, meeth. I mean, somehow we thought that would help the situation, because we could construct these super sounding prayers. But I'm telling you, I believe the older I get in the Lord, I think there's a heart to prayer. And Jesus said, God will give justice to those who cry out to him day and night. And sometimes I purposefully do that, very deliberately, very purposely. I go out in the morning and I pray. And then I go out in the evening and I say, here I am, I'm back in the evening, because you said to cry out morning and evening. I'm crying out to you, God, for this situation, for this person to be saved, or for this breakthrough in ministry. I'm crying out to you, Lord, morning and night. I don't know how to work it all out. I don't know how to pray it all through. I don't know everything there is to know about it, but I'm crying out to you morning and night. And now we're going to close tonight. I actually said the close word. We're going to close in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, I think of this one for Mark and this church, and what an extraordinary church this is. What a great church. There's some people praying for this church. There has to be, because it couldn't be this good without people praying. But listen, we learned such an interesting lesson here. Paul says, we're going to read the first four verses of Colossians 4, and then we're going to skip and key in on verse 12. But he says in not 1 through 4, I'm just going to read verse 2 through 4. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Actually, that's all I want to preach right there. Be watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. There again, devote. In other words, it's a habit. Devote yourselves to prayer and be watchful and thankful. Watchful, in other words, expect. Be watchful for the answer. I remember years ago, and I don't have time. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but just real quick. I busted my thumb, and it wasn't doing right. And it was a certain way it would no longer bend. And it was just stuck. And I had just started getting into the more charismatic churches and hearing healing preach and healing. And I would pray over that thumb and pray over that thumb and confess over that thumb and pray over that thumb. And then I'd check it. It still wouldn't bend. I'd check it. I don't know how long I did that, but I was expecting. Pray, check. Pray, check. Okay, I prayed again. Check. Wasn't moving. Anyway, but I was expecting. He said, be watchful in prayer. Watch for the answer. Then all of a sudden, one day, I bent it, and it bent. Hallelujah. Never went to the doctor. Never got an x-ray. Anyway, that was free. That was bonus material. Okay, let's go on. Be watchful and thankful. All this long-term praying continually I'm talking about, just fill it with thankfulness, thanksgiving. Thank God for everything you can think to thank Him for. Now, I want to close with verse 12. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras. And Paul's just giving some closing greetings here. And he says this in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. This Colossian church had at least one praying man. Epaphras, who prayed, and this is, he wrestled in prayer. In other words, it wasn't a one-shot quick prayer. He wrestled in prayer for this church, and this is what he prayed. He prayed that they would stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Pastor Mark, would you mind if everybody prayed that in here for this church? How about if we prayed for every person in this church that you stood firm in all the will of God, matured, and fully, let me get back to my, mature and fully assured. And I pray that for you guys. I pray that for this church. Some of you, I've been praying that for you by name, that you may stand firm in all the will of God. Mature and fully assured. And I pray by the grace of God that I'll learn to be a man like Epaphras who will wrestle in prayer for you. You know, if you see people going through a hard, hard, deep, terrible struggle in a valley. I'm convinced God is so good and wonderful. He wants you to come out on the other side of that valley. He wants you to come out because He's good and He's loving and He's kind. That's the will of God. And He says, pray, this man of Epaphras prayed that they would stand firm in all the will of God. All the will of God. Mature and fully assured. And so tonight I just pray you got a little encouragement out of that tonight about praying continually and praying without ceasing. Mark, turn it over to you, my brother.